dating world is a world of pressure. Let's face it, a date is a job interview that lasts all night. The only difference between a date and a job interview is not many job interviews. Is there a chance you'll end up naked at the end of it? You know, well, Bill, the boss thinks you're the man for the position. Why don't you strip down and meet some of the people you'll be working with?
This week on Status Complicated, I want to recall a time when you were nervous, your heart was racing, felt uneasy, sweaty palms, and to top it all off, you were stressed about what to wear. If you're thinking back to some of your first dates, you're on the right track. But actually, these same feelings can easily describe an important job interview. This week, one of my favorite guests takes on this Jerry Seinfeld quote we just heard and brings it to life with her charm and her hilarious experiences in the quest for love and a job. Two areas of our lives filled with uncertainty and excitement.
In both situations, you're trying to put your best foot forward. And, you know, as far as your online profile, if you were on Match or on Facebook, I mean, you are trying to put your best picture, put yourself in your best light, and also, you know, make sure that your status is updated. So you're single, you're searching for men and or women or whatever you're searching for. And so I do think people put a lot of time and energy into both. I guess part of the thing that I was thinking about is, you know, the anxiety portion of looking for a job and dating. Like, you see an ad, it sounds wonderful, and you put yourself out there and you write a cover letter and try to be, and there's all that other stuff that gets really annoying and anxiety inducing is when you're, should I be funny? Should I be clever? Should I be serious? Should I, you know, you want to be yourself, but you don't know if yourself is what they're looking for, but you want them to at least give you a chance to do an interview so then you can dazzle them in person. And so I think that, you know, as far as the angle that I was thinking of and what I wanted to talk about is all of the anxiety that leads up to it. And so let's say, for example, you see the perfect job posting. You put yourself out there, you decide to go witty because that's who you are. You don't want to start off on day one as somebody else. You want to be true to your authentic self. And, you know, you get the interview and, you know, then you have to figure out what to wear. Are they conservative? Are they casual? And you have to do all this background check and, you know, seeing who you know on LinkedIn, who's worked there before, or check all your friends, see if they, if anybody has a friend that works there. Or, you know, you have to do all this legwork just for the first interview or just the first, you know, email that you send to them. Then you get the interview and, you know, you're just on public display. Like, and it's almost even worse than dating because it might not even be one person. You might have to be wowing five different people and they're all completely different and you have to switch up. It's like you're going on a menage a trois date or something where you're
or it's like
having
speed
to please
dating.
Everyone.
It's like
yeah,
speed
definitely.
Dating. Yeah, gotcha.
Exactly. You're like, yes. And then, you know, you go home. You email your friends and say the stupid things that you said and, you know, that you shouldn't have said this. Maybe you should have negotiated more money. Maybe you should have done this. Why did I say that? I'm going to look like an idiot. And then it goes down two different paths, you know, and one of the paths is you get this cold, almost, you know, emotionless email that basically just says, we're moving in another direction.
Oh, yeah.
Or, which is, I mean, I know that they do it for HR purposes and, you know, they don't want to get in trouble for different things, but it's such a blow to get that email where it's just void of any personalization or, you know, at least in dating, you can say it's not you, it's me, or take him out to lunch or something. But in the work situation, you're just alone with that email, wondering what went wrong.
But in that situation, it's like, it is about you. It's can't be, it can't be, it's not you, it's me. It really is you.
Or, you know, they had a friend who works there and they got, you'll never know. It's just that darkness. And, you know, if you follow up, you're going to look like a psycho. And
why didn't I get the job? Why aren't we dating? Why aren't we dating?
Yeah, basically.
That's true. Do you feel that you had experiences like that when you were trying to find jobs before?
Well, I've definitely had, cold email before. And I think most of those have happened even before I went to the interview process. It's still, you know, dings you a little bit. You're wondering what went wrong. But yeah, I've definitely had those experiences. I was going to say one other thing about the dating process and how it relates to job interview is, you know, then if you get the job, then it's like you've gotten married. I mean, it's even worse than dating. Like, it's, you can't even like test it out. Like, all of a sudden you're giving them your bank account routing number and you're moving your insurance over and you're doing all this stuff. It's like, there's no time to even decide if this is what you want. All of a sudden you have to like jump in and you're moving in with the person and you're sharing all your information. And in a lot of ways it's even scarier because it's harder to get out of all that stuff. You have your insurance, you have, you know,
And not just that, but it's like, yeah, you can't just be there for like a month and be like, okay, I'm going to quit. I mean, people do, but then you're just that asshole.
Yeah. And then you put on your resume. No, how do you explain that? time that you weren't doing anything. And
it's so funny. You're right. It's like all this personal information gets exchanged and then you're there for eight hours of the day. You know what I mean? Like every day. It is worse than like starting to date someone. At least you like slowly move into like, let's hang out for an hour. Then maybe we might hang out for more. That's funny. You never think about it that way, but it is. It's like so personal, so fast. It's like, or sometimes it's like the experience where you were just like testing it out and you're like, okay, like this job sounds maybe okay. And then all of a sudden they're like, okay, we want you to like start tomorrow.
Yeah. And then you're like, I don't know if I want to be with you. Maybe I should keep myself available for these other offers that might come in. And
yeah, I was like, I thought we were going on a coffee date. I didn't realize that we were going to start becoming exclusive.
Exactly.
That is really funny. I remember you saying that you had a story about, I think maybe when you were doing interviews, didn't you say like someone gave you like a funny analogy?
Well, yeah. So I had a job that I really liked, but there were rumors that there was going to be layoffs. So everyone was kind of scrambling around and, you know, starting to interview and put their name out there. And I got an interview with a television station and I was a journalism major. So I was happy to get that. And I knew a couple of people who worked there. So I thought this might be a good in. And, you know, I don't remember the guy's name who I interviewed with, but his name started with a J. And the reason why I remember that is because, you know, you had the J and he would put colon and then J and then the rest of his name. And the colon and the J were supposed to be a smiley face. And this is like a grown man in like his 50s signing all of his emails with a smiley face, you know, play on his name. So I had a first interview with him and I thought, oh, this is going really well. Had a second interview with him. And this is where he started using air quotes. Like every time he would talk to me, like, you and I are courting each other, but we haven't decided to get engaged. I am trying to decide if we are going to propose and then get married. And I was just like 24 watching this guy trying to, I don't know. I was paralyzed, to tell you the truth. I didn't know how to respond. I just kind of sat there. I mean, the funny thing about it is when I told, especially my guy friends afterwards about the interview, they were all like angry on my behalf. Like, you should have told him to fuck off. And you should. I'm like, well, I guess if you're a woman, you kind of just know weird shit is going to happen, it seems like.
Yeah.
In a situation. And you kind of usually just, you know, I could have screamed at him. I could have stormed off. I really wanted the job. I thought he was a weirdo. But, you know, I didn't think it was that weird of an offense. I mean, looking back on it, it was completely bizarre. And then I ended up not getting the job too, which I just felt like a little humiliated by that. Like, I thought we were getting engaged and having a relationship and getting married. And then I got left at the altar, basically. Well, I emailed them like a week afterwards and I said, hey, you know, what's going on? You know, I haven't heard from you, because I had gone through all their background checks. I had to do all these different things. I mean, I really thought that I was starting on Monday. And he wrote back like, oh, I have a funny story for you. I decided to take the job and rechange my role. And so I'm just going to do that. He's like, isn't that funny? And then he'd colon J, rest of his name. I don't even think I responded, to tell you the truth.
What a weirdo. Like, yes. That's on the, I've never been in a job interview when it's ever been like that.
Well, I think like our fourth interview that I had there, he had me meet with him and another woman. And we were completely in the middle of the interview and his phone rang. And we were like in the middle of a conversation and I stopped to let him answer the phone. And he has picked up the receiver and shut it down again and hung up on the person. And the woman in the room was like, what are you doing? And he was like, well, I didn't want to talk to them. And she, and they started arguing in front of me. So it was like,
it was an interesting experience. I think it's funny that, well, no, it probably worked out for the best that you didn't get that job. Can you imagine working with that crazy person? He's probably air quoting every day.
Well, actually, the interview that I had after him and I actually took the job was 100% worse than this one. But I had a bad string of really bizarre interviews. The next one was when I moved to California, actually. So I was living in Nebraska, decided to move to California, and I found out about the startup that was hiring, and I went out there to interview. And this guy was telling me all about the company and how they're going to grow and what their goals are. And I was just listening in. And then his phone rang. And he had like a very bad habit of just answering it on speakerphone. So he answered it on speakerphone. And this woman on the other line was like, hello? And he said, yes, hello. And she said, you don't know who this is? He's like, of course I know who this is. Of course I do. And she goes, you just asked me to marry you. And he said, oh, yes, yes, the lady from Fremont. And she goes, no. And he's like, Hayward? And she hung up the phone. And then he and I were just sitting there alone in this room together after that exchange. He's like, oh, that was just a joke. That was, you know, my friend. And then he just continued the conversation. And again, you know, this is another thing that kind of relates back to dating and jobs. It's like, it is a very bad idea to look for somebody or a job when you are in a desperate situation and you want out of something, because you think all sorts of bizarre things are normal, or you are able to look past them in a way that you normally wouldn't if you had you know, any sense to you at the moment. But I was like, oh, that must have been a friend who would have done something like that. And then he ended up being a complete freak, and I worked there for a couple of years.
So that is a really good lesson, like, don't search for a job or a relationship when you're super desperate.
When people actually do look for jobs, unfortunately, it's like they've hit their wall at work, or, you know, something traumatic has happened, or they feel like they, you know, aren't being respected at work or whatever, and they just decide they're going to get out there and do something completely different, and you just start coming up with these crazy ideas sometimes.
That kind of reminds me of like when I was trying to get out of my first job and went to my second job, which is where you and I met.
In a job interview.
In a job interview, which is funny. And I remember
we were courting each other.
I remember thinking when we met our boss at that time, being like, she seems wacky, real wacky. But I was like, whatever, who cares? It's probably just, she's probably stressed. I made all these excuses in my mind when I first met her. I'm like, oh, it's probably just, you know, whatever. She's got tons of meetings. She like came in like 15 minutes late to the interview. It was so funny. And now in hindsight, I'm like, oh, right. She was just being her true self. You make excuses for people when you first date them, when they show up late to your date, or when they like accidentally forgot to bring their wallet to your first date or something ridiculous.
Yeah. Or you see them text messaging over, you know, secretly behind you or something, and you know it's probably not their mom or somebody they're text messaging or.
Yeah. And they're just like, oh, yeah, yeah, no, it's fine. Cause you're like, I just really need this.
Well, part of it isn't, I don't want to make it sound like everybody's desperate and crazy, you know, when they're looking for a job. So, you know, sometimes it's being hopeful too. Like, okay, this seemed a little weird. However, you know, this is a great company. Mm-hmm. You know, they wouldn't let somebody like that work here. You know, they have a great reputation. There's a lot of other perks or, you know, things that would definitely make your or like your commute shorter, or they have great benefits, or the job
great
is something
benefits.
You really want. I don't know. So I think even in dating too, I think that sometimes you're hopeful, like you've met a lot of knuckleheads and this one seems great on paper, but there's just some nagging thing in the back of your mind that says like, that's, doesn't seem normal, but you know, he seems like a nice person. We've been talking for a while. We've been emailing each other. You know, I've met his friends. They're nice. You know, so I think some of it is being hopeful too. Give people the benefit of the doubt.
Right, right. And you can't, they're not all bad. I mean, everyone does have they're bad days when you just happen to go into that interview. But it is funny how we make some excuses. Nowadays, like LinkedIn is a big thing about, you know, finding a job and making sure your profile is like up to date and that you have the right picture and you're not like, you know, your LinkedIn profile isn't showing you like taking shots or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's all about like making sure that aspect of, your social media life is polished. And same thing goes to like having a Facebook or an Instagram or whatever, Snapchat. I don't even use Snapchat, but you know, making sure that all that is appealing because you know that whoever you're going to date is looking at all these things and making, and like making all these assumptions based upon you, you know, like your friends or, you know, I don't know, whatever you're doing on the weekends.
Yeah, I mean, something that reminds me of this is, without naming any names, you and I worked with somebody who a lot of people didn't like. And I think just because I was following the crowd, I probably didn't like her too, even though I didn't know her that well. I was picking things out that I thought, you know, confirmed other people's suspicions about her. But then I got to know her on Facebook after she left the company, and she has this great husband and they have this great life and they have all these friends. And I'm like, huh, either we completely missed the ball on who this person is, or our personalities just didn't jibe, or she was in a bad place because of where we worked and she was unhappy. But after she left and, you know, started something new and exciting, like she was able to truly be herself or be comfortable in her situation. And I thought that was remarkable because I think people still kind of judge her to this day. But if you look on her Facebook profile, again, she's just living the life and, you know, seems to have all these supportive friends and family and great adventures. And
that makes me think that about, like, I just heard a friend talk about this the other day, how she has a friend that whenever she's around her boyfriend, she noticed how much she changes. Like, she's just like a different person when she's around him. And, but she can't put her finger on it. It's like, she's trying to really impress him or something is going on there. And every time she's like, but she's not really like that. So I don't understand what's going on because it's supposed to be her boyfriend. So I feel like this is similar to that person. It's like they were just putting that image out there because they thought that that's what it, the job required, basically.
Yeah.
And then for a good lesson, I think a good lesson is the fact that she wasn't happy in the end because she wasn't being who she really was. None of us were at this job. Yeah.
True. We were all these weird caricatures of what we should have been or what people wanted us to be. And
because, yeah, we were dating the wrong job. We were
correct.
We were definitely dating the wrong job. And because we were all in our own way being someone else. And never, I mean, I think it's totally normal for probably the first 3 months of a job and dating to be like on your toes and try to be like the best you, the representative of you. But then afterwards, if that still continues, if you still feel like you have to hold on to this weird facade, then that's really not the right place for you, you know?
Well, it's also exhausting because
yeah.
you can't be a fake person for 8 hours a day yeah. and keep it up 7 days a week or I guess 5 days a week and, you know, be comfortable with yourself. I remember just leaving that job and feeling like I had to take off my mask and, you know, be myself again. And it was exhausting.
I know. And like that might, there is someone perfect for that type of role because it fits into their personality. But I kind of wanted to go back and kind of walk through the steps of interviewing and kind of think about maybe even funny jokes or funny things that have happened to you or anyone that you know. Just like putting together your resume, which is similar to putting together like your dating profile, I would say.
So I remember, you know, after, I can't remember exactly when it was, but I had decided to go to a professional resume writer because I thought she would know how to do this better than I would. And I remember, I mean, it was the most bizarre experience because, you know, I would say, save the company $1 million by, you know, implementing this initiative. And she would completely rewrite it to something that I would never say that really twisted these words to make me sound just fabulous. And I'm like, but that doesn't really ring true to what happened. She's like, did you not save them $1 million? Did you? I'm like, well, yes, but I mean, I didn't really do it like that. And yes, you did. Yes, you did. That's how I heard it. And she just wrote all of these things. And I remember, you know, I worked in television before. And so a lot of the television terms didn't really translate into business. And so, you know, I was like this master board controller, which is something technical in the back. And I ran cameras and I did all these things. And I can't even remember what she wrote, but it was something where she translated those roles into the business world. And it really just didn't make any sense, but it sounded really fancy and interesting. And I had a job interview with somebody. And coincidentally, that person worked in television too in the past. And he's like, oh, so what did you do there? And I was like, saying all these fancy words and doing all the stuff, like kind of trying to mirror the resume. And he goes, but you were the master board controller, right? And I'm like, yes. And he goes, why didn't you just say that? And I'm like, well, then I was trying to make excuses for that. Like, well, I didn't know if everybody understood it. I mean, it's just a coincidence that you work in television. I wouldn't have guessed that. And it just made it completely awkward. So that person thought I was a complete liar. And, or, you know, I think that they looked at my resume differently after that. Like, why didn't you just say what you did? And I remember going back and rewriting the resume back into my own words and, you know, feeling more comfortable about that.
Right. Because it's kind of like having someone that doesn't even know you that well, that just puts a profile up for you on, like, I don't know, Match or whatever.
Yeah. What would be the quintessential, like, best profile? Like, what you're going to want?
And it's like saying all this stuff and then you get on the date and he was like, so you said, you know, you love running. I love running. Like, and then you're like, I never run.
Exactly.
So funny. That's true. And people do that all the time. I know that people just exaggerate. Well, it's like exaggerating your qualities to be something that you're not. And then getting there and being put on the spot like you did. How do you stand out from the crowd in both scenarios?
Yeah. And I think sometimes I struggle with knowing what would impress somebody. You know, a lot of things I do, I just feel like it's a regular job. It's nothing that exciting. It's nothing, you know, it's just keeping the lights on, keeping things moving. And I don't know how to write that in an exciting way, but other people will seem to figure out a way to spin it in a way that you, if you were to get hit by a truck, like everything would stop. You are that important, where I just feel like nobody's that important. Anybody could get hit by a truck and, you know, you'd have to figure out where the projects were, you know, left off and who can cover them, but then we're going to forget you and move on to the next big thing.
And the other thing is, it's not just, so it's like from the point of putting your resume together, which is similar to like putting a profile together, to then finally, like, you know, whatever, people swiping right or some getting like an email back, right, from a job. And then that, then there's a whole nother layer of like being nervous and trying to prepare for it. The stupid question of like, tell me about yourself. That is similar to what happens on a first date.
Yeah. And I think also I struggle with, you know, what to wear, how to prepare for it, you know, what to bring. You don't want to have too much stuff with you, so you look like you're fumbling around or you just have a lot of clutter with you. But you also, you know, don't want to be a minimalist either. And I don't know, I was just thinking of another funny story of something that happened to me. I was thinking, okay, I had this job interview, but I don't want to break out of my routine because I think that will also put me in a weird state of mind. So I wanted to work out in the gym before I went on the interview, and I wanted to do this, and I wanted to do that, and kind of do all of the stuff that I normally do so I wouldn't be focusing on this interview all day. Well, to kind of cut corners, I thought, well, I could wear my gym clothes to work and then just bring my clothes. So then I, you know, make the step a little bit shorter, go straight to the gym instead of, you know, dressing at the gym. And then, you know, I'll have more time to prepare and just do some final preparation before the interview. So of course I do that. And then I forget to bring a bra because it's like completely out of my routine. Like I always come in a bra in my regular street clothes, then change at the gym into gym clothes, and then change back into my street clothes after I've showered and gotten ready and then go to work. Well, this had me arriving to work in my gym clothes and packing my work clothes. But in that packing, I completely forgot a bra. So I'm getting ready to go to this interview. I'm wearing a tank top with no bra on.
Oh my God.
And I, you know, am freaking out. And I see I'm blow drying my hair and getting ready. And I can see people looking at me like, you don't have a bra on. Like, is that what you're wearing to work? So I like beelined it to Target because that was the only place open at that hour. And I was trying to convince the lady in the dressing room to just let me put on a bra and leave with it. And I'll, you know, pay the cash register with the tag. And she wouldn't let me do that. And so that was another job I didn't get. But, I don't know. I knew that we weren't going to be a good fit. And it was like another one of those situations where it's, even though it hurts that they don't choose you at the right moment, or, you know, you aren't the selected person, even though you want to decline it. It's just in your heart, you know, it's the wrong job, and, you know, it'd be a disaster if you got it. So, I mean, I was definitely okay with not getting it, but I just thought, you know, here's another crazy story of me trying to get ready for a job interview, trying to do all these things, and, you know, fate is pooping on my plans. And
but maybe fate is pooping on your plans because it would have been a horrible job for you. Similar to, like,
yeah,
dating. The other thing that I think is interesting is when you do, which doesn't happen anymore, but back in the day when people actually picked up the phone and talked to each other before going on dates, you know, like, everything is done through text message now. But that was, like, really nerve-wracking, like, getting on the phone call with the guy that you were potentially a guy, girl, whoever, that you were going to go on a date and having to have, like, conversations with them on the phone.
Well, true. And, I mean, I think you even missed out on this portion. I'm a little older than you. But, I mean, before there was no cell phone. So you had, like, a landline. You had to leave your house on occasion. And then you're like, is he going to call? Is he, you know, am I going to miss it? What if he doesn't leave a message? And, you know, you didn't have that instant gratification. I don't know if that's better or worse, but yeah, I just remember, or I remember one time I met somebody at a bar one time, and you could literally, like, look up their phone number in the phone book and find them and give them a call.
Wait, did you really do that? That's awesome.
Yes, I think so. Well, yes, this is a very interesting story. I was at a coffee shop, and I was supposed to meet my aunt for a coffee, and this guy was kind of wandering around trying to find a place to sit, and he looked at my chair next to me. I'm like, well, you can sit here for a little bit, but my aunt is coming to meet me for coffee. He's like, okay, and we just chit-chatted a little bit. And then my aunt showed up and thought that that was, like, my boyfriend or something. And I'm like, no, this is just this guy that had coffee and we needed a place to sit. And so the three of us were sitting there, and my aunt and I just kept talking. And this guy sat there, and then he excused himself and left. Well, then I went to Brazil as a foreign exchange student for 4 months.
Oh.
And that whole time he was, like, searching for me, and he kept going to the coffee shop, hoping to run into me again and see if he could find me. And 4 months later, like the day I got back from Brazil, I was in a bar, and this guy from across the bar was just staring at me with these, like, laser eyes. And I was like, this person is just glaring at me. And his friends were too, like, there are all these eyeballs on me. And I guess I just went over and said, are you looking at me? Or, you know, I can't remember exactly how that exchange happened, but he said, yes, we had coffee 4 months ago. I've been looking for you. And I said, well, I was in Brazil, and, you know, kind of gave him the back story. And, but I was with friends and he was with friends. And so we exchanged names. And I don't know why I think I gave him my number. And then, like, 3 days passed, and I was wondering, is that guy going to call me again? So I looked in the phone book, and I saw his number, and I was just about ready to call it. And then he called me, and I was like, oh, I was just about ready to call you. And
I cannot believe, but I do remember this time. I obviously remember when Yellow Pages were a thing, but that is actually really funny. It's funny how it's gone from there to just now Tinder, basically.
And I guess in some ways, I wish that was how you found a job. You just like swipe right and found someone. I don't want to go through like looking through the phone book and doing all this stuff. I mean, maybe it should be a little bit more instant like dating now.
So now moving into finding your husband and thinking about it in terms of what that was like in terms of interviewing. So he basically got the job. How did Brett do in terms of in an interview scenario?
Well, I think most women would agree that they got bamboozled in some shape or form into marrying the person they're meant to. You know, Brett is a wonderful husband. He is very easy to live with. We have a lot of the same interests. And, but there is also just a funness of a man courting a woman that gets snuffed out in marriage, I think. You know, he's a little less interested in going out on a Tuesday, or he needs like a reason, like that you have to put together some sort of keynote of why we should go out on a weird night, because it's not, you know, he's less spontaneous. He's less, and I think most married women would say that about their husbands.
I agree.
Yeah. So I feel like during the interview process, he was doing great. and he, you know, definitely got the job. You know, would I rehire him? Of course I would. But but it is kind of like, oh, we're settled into the job.
And I think that's really true. I mean, once you get into working somewhere for a long time,
stop wearing heels, you stop wearing makeup.
You're just like, yeah, okay, I got this. I mean, I've been doing this for X amount of years. Like, I know how to make this work. And you, it's not like in the beginning, like you were saying, the first 3 months of dating or the first 3 months of being on a job, 6 months, whatever year, where you're just like, wow, look at this. Project I did on the side. Like, I just do this for fun, you know? Which I think, I'm sure what it sounds like when you and Brett were first dating, it sounded like maybe you guys went on lots of dates or did lots of activities together. And he was probably like wowing you with all the cool, interesting things that he would take you, like cool things that he would take you to.
Yes, all of his offerings, all of his qualifications. And yeah, I think so. And but we both did it too. I mean, we have gotten comfortable around each other. And, you know, the idea of having to get dressed up in the summer in San Francisco where it's freezing cold out, I mean, it just doesn't seem interesting in some ways, even though, you know, if I were younger and single, I would, or maybe just single, not necessarily younger. I mean, I would definitely consider it, or rally and go out. And yeah, in my job, it's like, I'm very comfortable. I've been working with the same person for 7 years. She really knows me. We get along really well. And, you know, I don't tell her what I'm doing at all hours of the day. I'm not wowing her all the time. You know, I have regular check-ins with her, but, you know, we're in a comfortable relationship and, you know, we trust each other and it's easy.
Yeah, it is. And it's not because you're not unhappy or anything. It's just like, the, like you were saying, kind of like the wow factor in a way just goes, like, is not as present, because you're like, oh, I've been doing this. I know this. And also, I was thinking about my friend's mom that had been working at her company almost 30 years. Mm-hmm. And they were doing layoffs. She's like 5 years away from retiring. What that's kind of like, of being invested in in a relationship for like 30 years and kind of being blindsided, maybe, I don't know how often this happens, but I'm sure it does, when someone's like, I want a divorce, you know? And
oh, yeah. Well, I think with jobs, just like in relationships, there's a false sense of security. Like, anyone can pull the plug at any time. You assume that they're not going to pull the plug on you because you've worked there for 7 years and you've been trustworthy and you've been hardworking and you haven't caused them any problems. But the reality is, if they see trouble down the road or if they want to restructure, there's a new boss who wants to make some changes, you really don't have any say in the matter. You know, they'll cut you loose. There is no, you know, I'm sure some bosses and some organizations would, you know, really feel bad and worry about you, but business is business. And, you know, they might hire some younger, cuter, less expensive person to fill your shoes. And that's the breaks. And I mean, I feel, you know, in some ways, you know, Brett is always saying to me, like, we should quit our jobs and travel the world for 2 years. Yeah, you're a 38-year-old male. I'm a woman in my 40s. Nobody wants to hire some woman who in her 40s in marketing, you know, who's gone off and boondoggled for a few years in Europe. I mean, they're going to hire somebody who's younger and who is less expensive. And, you know, I feel like it's a very insecure place to be in your 40s in marketing, in a woman, in high tech, because you are very replaceable. It's not like I'm a brain surgeon and you can always reinvent yourself, and I'm not ever afraid of doing that. But, you know, I shouldn't even say that this is a woman thing. I went to this event a couple of years ago, and people were selling their products that they have handmade, like furniture and different things. Mm-hmm. And I met this guy who was selling barbecue rubs. And, you know, I just asked, like, how he got into that business. Like, you know, and he said, well, I worked in high tech and I was a salesperson, but nobody finds 50-year-old salespeople that charming anymore in tech. You know, you can't stay out and drink as much. You have like a family, you have other things to do, and it's just not the right environment. And so he kind of read the writing on the wall, and he decided to work on something that was his passion and something he could turn into a business. But, you know, being divorced in your 40s, being unemployed in your 40s isn't charming. It's scary.
One thing that I've noticed is, you know, I work with a lot of young people and they're constantly changing jobs because, you know, what roles they want are, they're not necessarily jumping from, let's say, an entry level to all of a sudden a director level. They're not jumping those levels. They're just probably moving laterally. So it's easy to find those jobs. But as you're moving up in your career and as you have 10, 15, whatever, 20 years of experience, it becomes more difficult because you're pickier. The roles that they want you for are like, you know, director levels. There's a lot more requirements. In the nutshell, like, I feel like as you get older, it just becomes more difficult because there's less and less opportunities versus when you're young, you're able to hop around.
Yeah.
And dating, and more, same thing.
Yeah. And more competition too.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Yeah.
It's 'cause they're both really important things in your life. They're your career and then someone you may spend the rest of your life with.
Mm-hmm. Those are pretty much two of the biggest decisions you're going to make.
Yeah.
And you can always bounce around, but eventually most people want to have some roots and have some, you know, not hop around and have those friendships that you grow and cherish in the workplace, you know, have the relationship with somebody that you trust and care about and you can lean on each other. And yeah, it's hard to find both.
Hard to find both. And I do think as you get older, they both become much, much harder. The last part is, what's your advice for someone looking for a job but struggling? And you can maybe look at that at the same thing for someone trying to find someone but struggling.
Well, in both my current job and my husband, they both happened when I wasn't really looking. And I know that's very cliche, but with Brett, I kind of went on a dating spree where I was thinking, like, everybody needs a chance. And, you know, I need to get myself out there and I need to try all these things. And, you know, finally, when I got off all the websites, stopped corresponding with people, took a long break, you know, he materialized out of, and actually we were working together, so I knew he was always there. He just, you know, I didn't see him in that light. And, you know, I needed some clarity. And, you know, if you're dating everybody, you're not dating anyone, basically. So I think that people do, they are successful when they play the numbers. But, you know, for me, I'm not that type of person, because it just, like you were saying earlier, like I struggle with being fake. And I struggle with not being authentic. And if, you know, you're trying to juggle 5 dates a week and trying to do all this stuff, I just kept getting confused, quite frankly. I called people the wrong names a couple of times. It was just, got hard and confusing. And I felt like I always had to be on and I always was trying to impress. And when I just took that break, you know, I saw Brett. And then with the job, you know, you and I were working at a place that neither of us were happy at. However, it was in 2009, a recession had just happened. And I basically just had decided that I was going to be stuck here for a while. And there was nothing that I could do that was going to move this process any faster. I should just hunker down and be happy with what I had. And then I got an email from a recruiter and ended up at the place where I'm at now. And I love it. And it's been over almost 7 years, actually. I feel like where you and I worked 2 years felt like 20. And here I am like a month away from my 7-year anniversary. And it's just gone by so quickly.
Yeah. See, that's great. I think stop stressing about it. And then things somehow fall into place. I think that's hard to do, though.
Yeah, I do feel like, I guess the one piece of advice is when I did get the call from the recruiter, you know, I went through the job description with a fine-tooth comb and made, you know, notes on every single point, just so, like, I dig through my career to figure out what I could use to map to, you know, what their requirements were, what they were asking for. I, you know, wrote little notes in the margins. And I don't think that's very applicable to dating, but I do feel like, you know, it was a combination of being at the right place at the right time, having a sense of peace about myself, and then a little hard work on top of it too.
I think that there could be probably, I'm sure there are many people out there that are looking for a job and the person that they want to spend their life with. As you said, if you just kind of take a step back and probably stop being so stressed out about it, because you might, if you're that desperate, as we were going back to the beginning, you might make the wrong move.
That's true.
You don't want to do
full circle, Sam.
Full circle. I'm learning. I'm learning that.
To end this week's episode, I wanted to thank Jen for taking the time to chat and share her funny and insightful stories. I've always enjoyed talking to Jen. She brings humor and calmness to everything, even to the two most stressful situations, a first date and a job interview. Also, I wanted to leave you with 3 lessons I learned from our chat, and I hope that they'll help you in the quest for love or a job. First, notice signs from your interview or date. If you see red flags or feel uncomfortable with something, stop making excuses go with your instincts, and avoid a long-term bad job or relationship. Second, don't look for a job in a desperate state, because you'll end up overvaluing a job that you otherwise wouldn't take. Just like when you're dating, you don't want to go home with a guy or girl that has all signs pointing to disaster. Third, we tend to have a false sense of security when we're in a relationship or a comfortable job, and forget that the lack of appreciation or effort can sometimes lead to us being replaced. So if you're in a good situation, value what you have. And finally, I wanted to leave you with a quote I read that I think captures the essence of this episode. Whether a job interview or a date, you're establishing a connection, finding common ground, and in doing so, validating the person across the table and making yourself memorable to them. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thanks for listening.